On to Tom Brady now, where up until now, the question was if and not where he would play next season. At age 42, Brady has definitely slowed down a bit the last couple of years. But when you've earned the right to be called the GOAT, you've seemingly also earned the right to decide when you're done. And as we learned yesterday, Brady isn't done. He posted to Instagram, in both life and football, failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from that failure, pick yourself up with great enthusiasm, and place yourself in the arena again. And that's right where you will find me, because I know I still have more to prove. Greg Jennings, what does Tom Brady have left to prove after everything he already has?
Well, statistically, he has nothing left to prove. He's done it all. But this is what makes him special. This is what has allowed him to stay at the pinnacle and be the one of the greatest to ever play sports, like across any arena, across any platform, because he understands how to reboot and how to reset and how to manipulate himself to believing this, I have more to prove. Yes, did he have a declining year? Of course. And I know my counterpart over here is going to let us know all about it. But his I have more to prove is more than just statistically. It's about wins for him. He doesn't grade himself on how well he performed and how many numbers he put up personally. That's not what Tom Brady
what
gets called
up. What does he grade himself
on? He wants to win, period. It's all about winning. When he doesn't win or when he doesn't get to where they feel or he feels that they should be as an organization, it's a loss. And when you play within an organization that is championship or bust, something that he was able to establish early on in his career, this is your mentality. And this is what makes you great. So yes, to himself, and that's all that matter, he does still have something to prove.
So where you are incorrect is that...
Let me tell you what
is that I don't care what he did this past year on this question. You can't go backwards in legacy in my eyes. There's no athlete. It's not fair to say had he retired a year ago, he would be here. But because he kept playing, he went down. No, he even playing poorly this year enhanced his legacy. You know why? Because he still was the best 42-year-old quarterback we've ever seen. It's just there aren't it's a very short list. And most of them were terrible as opposed to just below average. But I want to talk about this year because Brady... You're right that maybe he believes he has something left to prove. But if he does, he's the only person in the world who believes it. He's got nothing left to prove.
Absolutely.
Brady, if there were any doubts remaining about who the greatest quarterback of all time is, he removed them 4 years ago. 2016 Super Bowl, Atlanta Falcons, 28-3. Guys, I got it, and most impressive about it, the players on his team believed it, mm-hmm. and the Falcons were worried about it. That gave him his fifth championship. That passed him on Montana on the count the rings argument. It also was a no questions asked, Tom Brady-led Super Bowl. That was not a great Belichick defense. That was not a brilliant game plan. That was a, we are getting our heads handed to us, but my hand will stay calm. I won't be shaky. Get on my back, and I will take us to victory. Since that moment, he's won a league MVP, and they won another Super Bowl. So he's got, there is nothing left for him to prove whatsoever. Go ahead, Jen.
Can I disagree with you just for a second? What's the one thing he's wanted to do that no one else has ever done? He wants to play till age 45. Mm-hmm. What's the one thing no one else seems to think he can do? Win without Bill Belichick. What's the other thing? Win outside of New England. I think aside from the stats and the wins, he's now at a different place in his career where it's time for him to prove that he can do this. But in his own, without any competition, it's him and him alone.
Okay, but then we are asking, then he has something to prove again. The age 45 is something he set in his own brain. That was no one else's standard. And the do it without Belichick is so unfair. Because how many championships Terry Bradshaw win without Chuck Knoll? How many Bart Starr win without Vince Lombardi? And I know Marino never won a championship, but how was Marino was with Shula the whole time. Troy Aikman was with Jimmy Johnson and then Barry Switzer last year, but that was Jimmy's team. These great quarterbacks are hand in hand. John Elway never won a Super Bowl until Mike Shanahan got there. They are hand, Joe Montana with Bill Walsh, they are hand in hand with great coaches. So this idea that Brady would be an outlier because he's been teamed with a great coach forever, it's quite the opposite. It's very rare to cross sports for a moment. You have LeBron, a guy who can go to the finals with David Black, can go to the finals with Mike Brown, can go to the finals with Eric Spoelstra, can go to the finals with Ty Lue, and is about to go to the finals with Frank Vogel. More often, it's Michael Jordan is amazing. And he had Phil Jackson alongside him the whole way. Same with Kobe and Shaq, or Kobe and Powell. Phil Jackson alongside him the whole way. Duncan and Popovich. So I don't look at, for Brady, Belichick as an asterisk. I look at, and people think I'm an anti-Tom Brady guy. I'm anti-Tom Brady in 2019. Tom Brady from 2001 to 2019, the greatest run I've ever seen from a football player ever. So I don't think, Greg, he's got a damn thing left to prove to anyone but himself because he's tricked himself into believing it.
I'm with you there. And Jenna, you bring up a couple good, really good points. However, I just don't think, and this is what you were getting at, that he really cares about winning without Bill Belichick. Because it's solely about winning. When you look at even entering into last season and all the rifts that we kind of saw going into, or I'm sorry, 2 years ago, all the rifts that we kind of saw, and the one thing that they said both, once they got in-house, there's one common goal.
Sure.
Win. Yep. There's one shared vision, shared goal, and that is winning. So I don't care what agenda Belichick may have. I know who he is when he walks in this building. I don't care what agenda Brady may have
right
outside of this building. I know what he's going to put forth and the effort he's going to give us when he steps on that field. That's all that matters.
Tom Brady turns 43 when? In August?
Yeah.
The one thing he's had this year that he hasn't really had in years past are doubters and naysayers about him and his ability to continue playing. I just think he wants to show people he can still do it.
Oh, I think he wants to.
This year,
Bill Belichick. I just think it would be, I just want to establish this now. If he goes somewhere else and fails, it is not a failure. It is someone
sure
who could have, he was so ahead of the game for everyone, from everyone else, and he just kept running it back because he wanted to. And it should not lessen what he's already accomplished. You should never go backwards by continuing to play as far as you would have been better off quitting.
Right.
Continuing to put yourself, to quote, was it Teddy Roosevelt, make yourself the man in the arena, that is honorable, even if you end up failing in that arena as they did this year. And so I truly feel that way, and I hate the fact that people think I dislike the guy. I don't dislike the guy. I was just right that he's not good anymore.
Dalton in the news this
really?
Morning.
Oh,
but
Andy
why,
Dalton.
Jenna? Why are we talking Andy Dalton? Well, the Bengals are probably locked in on drafting LSU quarterback Joe Burrow with the first pick in the draft, which makes 32-year-old Andy Dalton, who's never won a playoff game, odd man out. Well, Peter King has a solution, saying, quote, I think Bill Belichick would really like to work with Andy Dalton. Nick, you think Belichick could sell the New England Patriots fans on a guy like Andy Dalton?
First of all, I want to say this. I like where Peter King's head's at.
Which is
that he thinks Brady's leaving,
right?
And talking about guys who could be potential replacements. Now, Dalton wouldn't be at the top of my list, but I understand it. Established pro wouldn't be very expensive. You feel you could moderate his turnovers, and there's only one job left, which means Josh McDaniels might still be there next year. What would he look like in the Josh McDaniels offense, and a smart player who could ostensibly pick it up quickly? Now, to answer your question, could he sell the fans on Dalton? Don't matter, because he wouldn't try. Bill Belichick is the only coach in the league that could have an icon move on. And when he's asked about his replacement, he's like, well, we brought in a lot of players this offseason. Devin McCourty had to be replaced. He was a great player with this franchise. Whatever he would say.
That's a great.
Whatever it was you said to him.
Whatever. He would not. He absolutely would not try to sell the fans on Dalton. And as much as Patriot fans adore Tom Brady, their second favorite person in their sports life is Bill Belichick. And he has earned every benefit of the doubt every modicum of trust from fans. Now, maybe not from the NFL league office as far as following the rules, but as far as fans, he has earned the benefit of the doubt. Guys, I'm going to put us in a position to continue to contend, to win our division, and compete for championships. And so he will mute the noise immediately, and they won't have to deal with such noise. So whether it's Dalton, I think, and people would have a adverse reaction to this, I think Marcus Mariota is a very real possibility. Cheap, mobile, doesn't turn the ball over. We saw him have one really good year in year two, and then something happened to him over the last few years. He never got close back to it. Those are the... Teddy Bridgewater is a possibility. Those are the types of names the Patriots would be replacing Brady with, because I don't think they're going to just hand the car keys to Jared Stidham. But whomever it is, Belichick ain't going to do some big sales job, because that's not who he is.
Yeah, for me, when I look at Andy Dalton, I just don't think this is the... He has enough around him, even if this were the move they make. When you look
you
at
do what, or don't think
I
has,
don't
think he has
don't.
Enough around him. Doesn't have an
because
agent.
When you look at his resume, his success solely depends on having a guy on the perimeter that can make plays for him. AJ Green has been in and out of the lineup, and where has Andy Dalton been? Nowhere to be found.
Yep.
Nowhere to be found. If you go and insert him into this New England Patriots offense, who is he throwing the ball to? He doesn't have that guy that can really alleviate some of that pressure. And so I don't like that. And to your point, Belichick wouldn't have to sell anything. He can go in there with a no-name quarterback, and everyone will be sold on the fact that, okay, this is our guy. Because it's Bill Belichick. Because his plug-and-play mentality, his culture that he's already established of, I will go and find the best player that fits, not so much the best player statistically and the pop and the wow factor, the best player that fits what it is I want to get done. And in my opinion, that is Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater, he can run, he's mobile, and he can throw the ball accurately, and he understands a grand scheme offense that you can throw at him. He's done it in Minnesota, when he was a rookie.
In New Orleans.
In New Orleans, yep. Now, filling in for Drew Brees with Sean Payton at the helm.
And what Bridgewater and Mariota have in common is they don't turn the ball over. They're not going to be wowed by their arms. They don't turn the ball over. Dalton turns it over a little bit more than them, but he's not a super heavy turnover guy. Any of these, well, maybe not Mariota, but Bridgewater or Dalton, I do think would be, even at the same price, a slight upgrade, Dalton a slight upgrade, and Bridgewater a significant upgrade over whatever Tom Brady's coming back as next season. Especially when you incorporate the fact that Brady is reportedly going to want $25 to $30 million, which I understand why he would want it, but Belichick does not pay based on past performance. So I think that the issue for the Patriots fans they need to understand is, with or without Brady, there is this narrative, oh, well, they're going to reload on the offensive side of the ball this offseason. My question to you would be, how? They went over a decade without spending a first-round pick on a skill position offensive player. And then they did it in back-to-back drafts. Sony Michel, N'Keal Harry. They then spent a second-round pick on Mohamed Sanu. Do you really think the Patriots are going to go three drafts in a row, in addition to having just spent their second-round pick for this upcoming year on a wide receiver, on a skill position guy? Because I don't. You think they're going to be big spenders in the free agency in the offseason? They never have been. So I think they will tinker. I think they will address the tight end position. But the idea that the Patriots are going to come back next year with Amari Cooper in the fold or one of those Alabama wide receivers who they draft in the early 20s, all of our history says they are not going to go that route. So whomever the quarterback is, they might have slightly improved weapons of this year, but not drastically so.
Let's move. Talk back Cowboys again. Expectations nothing short of Lombardi-esque for this team with that roster, a top 10 defense and an offense that led the league in yards. And new coach Mike McCarthy knows that it all starts with quarterback Dak Prescott.
I'm excited about the opportunity to work with Dak. I think what he's done so far is very impressive. I think like a lot of us in the league, you watch people from afar, but when you have a chance to watch a player live, and I can recall his rookie year when we played him there in Green Bay. So I've always been impressed with him. There's you're going to be able to run the whole offense and then some. So, and I think he has an incredible foundation to build off of. And our offensive system will be built around making the quarterback successful. That's the way I've learned it, and it's the way I believe you play offense. So we have a great one there to work with.
It's about as high as you can get with praise for your quarterback. What do you make of what McCarthy had to say about Dak Prescott, Greg?
I think it's all true. When we look at Dak Prescott and we look at the stride that he made this season, it was huge. It was huge. And a large part of that we have to give credit to Kellen Moore, because we saw him take a huge step from a confidence standpoint and his ability to believe and trust in what he was being told, in the plays that he was being given, and that translate to great execution on the football field. Now, with Mike McCarthy, he can advance that. We're talking about a Dak Prescott, and I get it. The hit on him coming into this season was his inability to be accurate. He was accurate this year. He threw the ball with confidence, he threw the ball with velocity, and he threw it with conviction. All things that you need to do as a quarterback that will help your accuracy. He did those things. He threw for almost 5,000 yards this year with a team that we thought would be a heavy run team.
Right.
It was heavy reliant on his arm and his ability to make plays. This is not going to be something that they take away from Dak Prescott. It's going to be something that they continue to build on. And with Mike McCarthy, we saw what he did with Aaron Rodgers. We saw who he was with Brett Favre. He's not going to stop them from being who they are. He's only going to try to enhance them. And adding Ezekiel Elliott in the passing game and sprinkling in a tight end that is not named
Jason Witten
is going to do nothing but help Dak Prescott progress and do even more this year.
All right, so all that very well might be the case. None of it was my takeaway from that. And it's just, I was maybe thinking about it in a slightly different way, which is, once again, you have someone in Cowboys management acting as Dak Prescott's de facto agent. Did I miss it? Have they re-signed him yet, Jenna?
Not yet.
He technically is an unrestricted free agent. Every time one of these guys talks, Dak's got to just be hearing the old cartoon cash register sound in his head. Like, okay, there's another $3 million. There's another $3 million. Because you already knew Jerry, his comments on you. Steven very recently came out totally unnecessarily and basically said, any of our failures this season, not on the quarterback, he's exceeded even our expectations. All right, awesome. And now a new head coach, who I understand that's a tricky spot because Dak almost assuredly is going to be there. And you don't want publicly to cut his legs out from under him and say, well, whomever our quarterback is. But what you can't do, when Dak Prescott is going to come to the table here in a few weeks, or his agent is, and going to say, 4 years, $140 million, which would make him the highest paid player in the history of football, that would tie Russell Wilson. That's what Russell has, 4 for $140 with $107 guaranteed. That is where Dak is going to start his negotiation.
And you think all this is hurting him?
I don't think it's hurting Dak. I think it's hurting the Cowboys.
Right.
I think that if they wanted to pay him that, they would have already paid him that. But they continue to box themselves in. You now have your new head coach talking about how seemingly one of the reasons he took the job was to play, coach Dak Prescott. One of the things he's most excited about is coaching Dak Prescott. And you are not going to be in a good position if you pay the league, let me be generous, the league's ninth best quarterback, the most money anyone's ever paid a quarterback. And you are furthering Dak's ability to stay entrenched, to dare you to use the franchise tag, and wait and see what Deshaun Watson gets. Wait and see what Patrick Mahomes gets. Now, I don't think he'll exceed Mahomes, but he could exceed whatever Watson gets, and he will mark it down. He will make more money next year than Goff, than Wentz, than Aaron Rodgers, and probably than Russell Wilson. He will be one of the three highest paid players in the history of football, and the Cowboys continue to make that a fait accompli by having everyone sing his praises when they don't have him under contract. This is, I've never been run a business, but I know how this works. You build guys up once they are signed. And in the negotiation process, one of the reasons people typically, tell me if I'm right, Greg, have agents as athletes is because in the negotiating process, they're tearing you down. And you don't want to hear it. You don't want to have to hear your coach and GM say the things you don't do well. Let your agent hear it. But they have to do that because they're trying to nickel and dime you for as cheap of a contract as possible. Cowboys doing the opposite. Cowboys have this pending free agent, and every chance they get, they're talking about how great he is, and every chance that every time that happens, it costs them more money.
You're absolutely right. Typically, how it happens and how it works in negotiation is they're trying to label you for and tag you with something that you don't do well so they can negate how much they have to then pay you. The problem here is they're doing the exact opposite to your point, but I don't think it's so much to spike the price on Dak Prescott. I think it's to let him know, look, this is the Dallas Cowboys. You have our back, our backing. We have your back. Like, so you're going to have to come to the table and we're going to pay you. We did it with Ezekiel. We did it with Ezekiel Elliott. We said what we weren't going to do and we exceeded that. Now they know they're going to have to exceed what they don't want to do, but paying him top dollar and making him the highest paid quarterback in this league, that can't happen.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Greg. And they keep telling us it's going to happen.
Meanwhile, as of this morning, they've had themselves a head coach and they have yet to pay or sign their quarterback. Nick, when do you think that happens? Could it be next year? Do you expect McCarthy's Cowboys to be Super Bowl contenders that quickly?
I don't know why they would be. The Cowboys have been, in my mind, truly Super Bowl contenders twice in the last quarter century. One's a team you're familiar with, the team the year after Parcells left, Wade Phillips' first year, 13-3, a truly electric football team that got upset at home by the 07 Giants.
That, like, one still hurts. That one still hurts. I was on that team.
And that team was a real contender.
Yeah, we had 13 Pro Bowlers on that team.
And you had a quarterback that's better than Dak. And you were able to, what you saw that year was the best version of those Dallas Cowboys. The only other year I would argue that they were a Super Bowl contender was the Dez caught it, Dez didn't catch it year, where they lost to the Green Bay Packers. That was a 12-4 team in 2014 that lost a heartbreaker to the Green Bay Packers 26-21. Some people would say they were contenders in 2016. I think it's almost impossible to win a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, so I think there was maybe a glass ceiling on that team. But this year's team won 8 games. They're going to bring back mostly the same roster. I know they're going to have drastically better coaching. What they need is their star players, their highest paid players, to play like it. And I don't know if DeMarcus Lawrence has it in him to be a top 3 pass rusher in football. We've seen it 1 year and it was a contract year. Zeke is the highest paid running back in the league. This year is about the 5th or 6th best running back in football. What they paid Zeke to do is what we are seeing Derrick Henry do. Just run over people and then run past them. And they're about to pay Dak like he's the best quarterback in the whole league. He obviously isn't. So for those reasons, I don't think this Cowboys team is a true contender, even with the addition of Mike McCarthy.
Well, I think they're a true contender because they have the talent on this team. I mean, coming into 2019, we said it was one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. And about a month ago, you brought up all the different metrics. I mean, they're a team that has a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. Yep. There are only 4 teams in the NFL that had that. And then in terms of net yard differential, they're second in the NFL. For context, the Baltimore Ravens are first and the San Francisco 49ers are third. Both of those are pretty good teams, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have the requisite talent to compete at the highest level. It's just a matter of the missing ingredient, finding somebody that has a path to success for this team. Because Jason Garrett, for all of the positive things that you could say about him, whether it's being a motivator, whether it's play design on the offensive side of the ball, Jason Garrett doesn't have the formula for success to compete for a championship. He hadn't been able to get this team past the divisional round. Mike McCarthy has. He actually won a Super Bowl in AT&T Stadium. He's 4-0 in that stadium, by the way.
Yes,
so,
he is.
So there's a lot of good things for Jerry Jones to look at when considering Mike McCarthy, but he's got a 125-77 record as a head coach. So to me, this is a guy that's a proven winner, somebody that's won at the highest levels, and that's somebody that has instant credibility when he walks into that locker room. Now, to me, the only question is, not whether or not the head coach knows what he's doing, not whether or not the roster is talented enough. It's whether Jerry Jones can take his hands off it enough and let football people take care of football business. That's the only thing that's yet to be seen, because in my opinion, coming into this year, Jerry Jones undermined Jason Garrett. And when your owner is doing that to your head coach, it makes it hard for the guys in the locker room to trust the messaging coming from the guy on the sideline.
Well, they're not going to even go to the guy on the sideline because they know who's really pulling the strings. But I don't think that they're Super Bowl contenders this year. I don't think that they're far off. I just don't think that they are this year. And it doesn't really have anything to do with them per se. It has everything to do with all the other teams in that conference. Now, that division, I think that they could win that division. But there are so many other teams in that NFC conference that are right there in having success of winning or being Super Bowl contenders.
And don't appear to be a team like New Orleans. To me, is a team that is probably going to be on the downtick. But the other, Seattle is still ascending. San Francisco still ascending. Green Bay should be able to maintain. I think those are the teams you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. And so when you look at the Dallas Cowboys and how they're configured, do they have the personnel? Yes. Now they have the coach. Can they really put together these guys and keep Amari Cooper, Dak Prescott, all these high-paid guys? I think they get five or six guys that are $10 million yep. in calorie hit. Yep. So cap hit this going into this season. Can you keep those guys on the field? Can you keep those guys driven to play ball? Like, Dak Prescott has not been paid. So he's going to give you everything he has. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott has been paid. He might give you something one week. He might not the next. So when you're looking at the way that they're already constructed, the only guy who's still driven to do what Mike McCarthy wants to do is Dak Prescott. Why? He hasn't been paid.
Well, Dak Prescott's going to get paid, and Ezekiel Elliott is paid. So those two guys are going to be there. Their line, maybe not the greatest in football, is still a good line. They still had the top 10 defense. And now they've got a proven head coach. So explain to me, what am I missing? Why are they so much further off than you think? I don't think Seattle's roster is that much better than
Dallas'
roster.
Seattle's roster is not better.
So there's a team Seattle's roster is not on the uptick.
Right, well, because Seattle's got one of the three best players in the league at their quarterback position. And whether you're all in on McCarthy or a little more ambivalent, he ain't Pete Carroll. And what Seattle doesn't have is the frontline players Dallas has. But they have a lot of C-plus, B-minus. Their middle class is thriving, if you will. Maybe the only one left. And so Dallas looks the hell of a lot, you know, continue the analogy, like America. They have a upper crust that is doing great.
And they're just at the bottom.
But they don't have any type of middle class on their team. So the other reason, and I didn't bring this up earlier, but just where my head goes with it is, man, injuries are just luck. There's no team that's immune to it, no team that's extra prone to it. And the Cowboys were far healthier than the average football team typically is. That typically doesn't repeat year over year. They are not a team that is built to sustain the injuries. So if you had a year, and Jason Garrett didn't do a good job, but he's not a total doofus. If you had a year where Dak played the best year of his career, Zeke was not awful. He wasn't elite, but he was not awful. You were healthier than average. You still had Amari. We'll see if they have him next year. Your offensive line was fully intact, all paid, and you went 8-8. The next year, when you have a couple more of those injuries, when if Dak takes a bit of a regression because he's learning a new offense, whatever the reasons are, they got to take three steps forward. They're not a step away. They have to go from out of the playoffs, 500 record, to double-digit wins, to winning playoff games, to winning probably at least one road playoff game. That is a lot of steps they have to take to be a Super Bowl contender.
It's a lot of steps they have to take, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility. In the divisional round, we only have one team that was here a year ago, and that's your Kansas City Chiefs. So it's not like we don't see teams that were out come back and be contenders the next season. I feel like the Dallas Cowboys have the talent, and you talked about the depth. Will McClay will continue to draft well down there in Dallas. They've had the groceries. It's just a matter of finding the right cook to put the meal together. I think they finally got the guy in Mike McCarthy that's capable of doing that. It's now about Jerry Jones allowing Mike McCarthy to do that.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.